Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are always excited to be with you as we take the opportunity to get into God's Word and to see what He has to say concerning the questions that's on your heart and hearts and minds today. Now, this is a live call-in radio broadcast where you call in your question, and you set the theme with your question. And thus, we go to God's Word to find the answers. And that really drives the program. And so you really are in the driver's seat. If you would, go ahead and call right now. The lines are open. You call in with your question, and we go to the Bible and give you a Bible answer. That number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. There's a passage that we use from time to time, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17, which simply says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so your faith ought to be in God, but that can only happen is if you hear and listen to, look at, dwell on, meditate upon His words. David said a long time ago in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, he says, oh, I love thy law, for it's my meditation all the day. So he loves God's law, and he meditates upon God's law day and night, he says. And so we have to be people who meditate upon God's law day and night. We revolve it around in our minds, become more familiar with it, that we might improve our relationship with the Most High God. So go ahead and call right now. Gain access to the jewels or the treasures contained in the Word of God by asking your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, that number is 308-9564. That's the number to call. Again, 308-9564.
We are live, and now is your opportunity to be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. We must do that because it doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what preachers say, parents say. It doesn't matter what even your heart says if it is not in line with what God says. For when all is said and done and we stand before Him in judgment one day, it is what God has said that we will be judged by. So that's why it is so important that we find all our answers from God's Word so that we may be able to show ourselves approved unto Him. And thus, now is your opportunity if you have a question. You want to know what God has to say on any subject that has to do with life or godliness. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says that He, according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of Christ, in His Word, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thus, we must go there for the answer. Now, to ask your question, just pick up the phone and call 308-9564. Your question can be written down and brought in to us. Or, if you would like to go live on the air, you can do that as well. The only thing we ask is that you give us your name so we can be courteous and address you by name. And then also, so that we might be able to, we ask you to turn your radio down once we start conversing with you. Once we start talking back and forth, we ask that you turn your radio down because there is a delay, thus an echo, and then feedback. It creates all kind of problems. So as we talk live over the air, we ask you to turn your radio down once we start talking with you. Again, that number is 308-9564. Now, if you are calling from a text phone and you'd rather text us, you can do that as well. You can communicate with us simply by texting us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And both of these numbers are area code 843. So anywhere in the world, people can tune in and listen and join us via the net. If you have a friend that lives on the other side of the country or even overseas, if you will communicate with them and tell them to go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com. There is a live streaming button at the bottom of the page. You can click on that, and thus they will be able to tune us in anywhere in the world. So our phone numbers, if they want to join us or if you want to join us and you're outside this area, that area code is 843 that we are in. So the phone numbers again are 725-9283 for texting us, or if you'd rather voice your question, you can do so that way by calling 308-9564. Either way, The choice is yours. The lines are now available. Those of you that are regular listeners, you know that sometimes at the end of our radio broadcast, many times, our lines fill up, and thus all the calls come in and some people get left out. So now's your chance. Go ahead and call right now, and your question will be first in line. Both lines are available, 308-9564. There's only one line available now, 308-9564. And by the way, if you call now while we're talking to our first caller, we would want you to know that just go ahead and let the phone continue to ring. Let it ring over and over again, and eventually we will get to you, because we can only talk to one person at a time. Again, that number is 308-9564. Both lines are now available, 308-9564, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak.
When we started the program, I gave a passage of Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. I gave the incorrect passage. I was actually thinking Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, so let me read that, and then I'll give the correct passage. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And that's that word meditate means to revolve around in your mind. The passage I quoted came from Psalms chapter 119, verse 97, which says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And that was David's mindset concerning the law of God. It was something that he would dwell on, something that he would meditate on all the day. He would revolve around in his mind. And so then, we ought to be the same types of people, so in love with the Word of God, so enthralled by God's Word that we study in such a way to glean all of its truth and be able to apply it to our lives. And so the purpose of this broadcast is to aid in that. So if you have a question, go ahead and call in your question. Again, the lines are open, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. If you prefer, you can send us a text message to 725-9283.
We have Ibella calling in this afternoon, and her question is it wrong to tithe? Ibella, we sure do appreciate, I don't remember seeing your name before, we sure appreciate you tuning in and asking this question, for we live in a day and a time where most churches talk about money far more than what God did in his word. And I do not think that is a compliment, for Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money, never begged people to give money, nor should we. And that's the reason that you hear us throughout this broadcast, and please do not send us your money. Let us send you the treasure that God intended for you to have. Thus, that treasure is the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And so, but back to your question, is it wrong to tithe? Well, I would direct you to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, where it says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Now, the word tithing was a practice that was done in the Old Testament and under that law, under that covenant. Even Jesus, when he was on earth, practiced tithing. But that law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14 says. And then by the time Galatians was written, we see that he says, if anybody goes to the law to justify themselves, Christ has become of no effect, and thus they fall from grace. We're now to live under law to Christ. And so the tithing was a practice that was done even back to Abraham's time. It was something that was done, but it was commanded in the law of Moses that began in Exodus chapter 20. That tithing there was to go to the tribe of the Levites. That's why or how they got paid to do their religious service. That was the purpose of the tithe. Now, today, we have no temple, we have no Levites, and thus there is no need for the tithe to begin with. Second of all, we live under the law of Christ. And under the law of Christ, God tells us to give bountifully. And so they were compelled by law, they had to give a tenth of their increase to God for the Levites. But now he tells us to give bountifully, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, And also 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Upon the first day of the week is the when they were supposed to give it. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So that was the purpose, and that was how they were to do it, as they have purpose or have they as they have been prospered in their heart. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. So the answer to your question is that was part of the law of Moses. Now, if someone today tries to bind the law of Moses, whether it be incense or offering sacrifices or many other things, it says, according to Galatians 5 and verse 4, that Christ has become of no effect to them and that they are fallen from Galatians 5 and verse 4. But we sure do appreciate, Bella, your question very, very much. And we thank you for taking out time on your Sunday afternoon to tune in and listen to Let the Bible Speak. For that is what we'll do. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse for every question. And thus, you're able to hear what God has to say and not what man has to say. And so make certain you check us out. Make certain those verses say exactly what we just told you. Again, that's Galatians 5, 4, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9. The number here, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to take our first break, and we do want you to know the lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. Or make certain, if you've never enrolled in the correspondence course we're about to tell you, that you do not miss this opportunity. You will learn things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. And by the way, we don't want any surprises on Judgment Day. So, don't you owe it to yourself to find out what God has to say and that what we will be judged by one day? So if you've never received this course, make certain you do not miss this opportunity. Here are the details of it. If you've already gotten the course, go ahead and call in your question or text us, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live again, and please know that we will never ask you for money. This is a free course that we'll be glad to send to you. Don't miss the opportunity to get it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 was the last passage we used. And we are glad to be able to serve you and serve you the Word of God as we look to the Bible for the answers. The correspondence course that we just mentioned is free. We are glad to send it to you. You'll learn things in it that you may never have heard before. So don't miss this opportunity. That number, again, is 553-5157. The lines are now available here. If you have a Bible question, go ahead and call right now at 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a call coming in today. It says, are denominational churches all one or different? Well, the word itself, denomination, literally means the number of time the unit has been divided by itself. And so denomination, by definition, by the term, really suggests division. And so it is about division. And so I would suggest that because they are divided groups, they would have to be different groups. Now, of course, this is against what the Bible teach. The Bible shows in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, you have Paul making this plea. It says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so they were supposed to be joined in the same mind, in the same judgment, and there was not to be division among them. But they had division, and in just a quick reading of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that there was all kinds of division, even in this text, where they were aligning themselves up behind men in verse 12. "Now this I say, that each of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." They were aligning themselves behind men. "I'm of this man, I'm of that man." And even went so far as to say to separate Christ from Cephas or Paul. Well, who's Paul? Who's Cephas? Those guys are nobody. The church was built by Jesus Christ. And so likewise, any denomination out there, well, what is that denomination behind? If it's behind Christ or aligned behind Christ, then it's going to have Christ's name representing it and its people. And so every time we see a denomination, that is a division, and that is contrary to what we see in the Scriptures. Now, let me just give another quick illustration. If I go down the street right now and I just grab any church building, we'll just call it Church A. It's going to teach one thing concerning salvation. I go down a little bit further, Church B is going to teach something else concerning salvation. I go down a little bit further, Church C is going to teach something else concerning salvation. Now, if you ask all three, where'd you get your information, they're all going to say the Bible. And so what folks have the Bible, or have God doing today, is teaching three or four different ways concerning salvation. That's division. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, it shows that there is no division between God, between the Son, and between the Holy Spirit. They all teach the same thing. And so, again, if they're, all these various groups are teaching different things, that show that they are different and not the same. Now, we are supposed to be the same, but we will not be a denomination. There's only one church that Jesus Christ built. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. Again, Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says he was going to build his church. Join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in about the verse of Scripture we used earlier, Galatians 5 and verse 4. The question is falling away from grace losing the gift God gave you? Well, I'm not going to answer that. We'll just look at the verse and see what God says. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, the regular King James says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So let's look at the words and just see what those words mean. Well, the word fallen there literally means the idea of to fall away or to take no effect, to fail. And then the idea from grace, the word grace there is the same word that is used in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. So therefore, that same grace, it says we are fallen from. If we do what? Well, let's look at the words in the first part of the verse. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. And the words there literally mean to be nothing, void, to fall, to lose. And it's not only just to fall and to lose, but it has the idea of separation and departure from. So we are departed from, we have fallen, we have lost, we lose our relationship with Christ if we do what? If we justify ourselves by the law, to render or to be able to justify or try to be righteous by the law, we are fallen from grace. So I would encourage you to just let the Bible speak. It makes it very, very clear that that law was, let's go to chapter 3, verse 24, all the way through chapter 5. And read all of those verses, and it becomes very clear that the law was the tool that God used to bring us to Christ, and that he was a tutor. He was a schoolmaster, the King James says. That means he was the one to bring them to Christ, but now we're justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And thus, that is the way that we have the salvation that can only be had in him. Now, and by the way, my friends, I would encourage you, if you still are part of a group that goes back to the law to justify, for example, tithing, or many other things that will use the Old Testament to justify themselves with, then if you're going to take part of the law, then you must go by all of the law, which would bind upon you going to Jerusalem three times a year to offer sacrifices in a temple that is not even there. And so either we are just going to be consistent, listen to Christ, and let him bring us to heaven, or we're going to listen to whoever else it is that is calling upon us to go back to that law to be justified by. My friend, that is a dangerous game indeed. Let's go to Christ and listen to him. He's the one that gives grace. He's the one that gives us the instructions on how to get to heaven. Never, ever has it been so clear as it is now. Now that Christ has shown us the way. So let's go by his instructions, follow him to heaven, for he's there waiting on us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, matter of fact. So let's go by his instructions, and thus we'll be able to have that hope of eternal salvation with him alone. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it, and hopefully that's been helpful to you. And again, that was Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 that we were referring to. Also, just go back to chapter 3, starting with verse 19, and read all three chapters there, and you will see a great deal of information on that subject. The number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. And if you'd rather text us, you can do so that way at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, Ben calls in today, and he wants an explanation concerning Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, explain the eyes of your understanding. Well, Ben, we sure appreciate you calling in today. In order to understand this text, it's going to be necessary to go back up to verse 15 and read down through verse 18, maybe verse 19. He says in verse 15, therefore, this is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so Paul says, I'm making mention of you in every prayer, in my prayers. But what is he praying about? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And so this this phrase, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, is preceded by this idea of Paul praying that God may give to them the spirit of wisdom, that God would provide them with this revelation in the knowledge. And all revelation means reveal. The spirit of wisdom is, again, a spirit so that they might be able to understand for what purpose, so that the eyes of their understanding, now that word understanding translated there literally means heart. So it's really the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. That word enlightened means illuminated. It's just the idea that by God giving them the spirit of wisdom, God giving them this revelation, they might understand, their hearts may understand the things of God. And this was Paul's prayer for those Christians there at Ephesus. He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The idea you might know, you might understand the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And so, Ben, very good question. Again, this would have been a huge encouragement to the church at Ephesus to know that this was Paul's prayer on their behalf. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. To send us a text, you can just send that text message to 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We are live, and we do want you to know that this is your radio program. This is your theme that you set, that we are going to go to the Bible to find the answer to the questions that you have on your mind. We have a caller calling in this question. We're going to go to the Scriptures to find the answer in just a moment. The question is homosexuality wrong? Okay, I know several of you just reacted to that. Well, we're going to go to the Bible to find the answer and see what God has to say, and thus we're going to let the Bible speak. We do want you to know we're about to go to break, and while we're at break, if you have a question, you can call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We're going to give you information right now about a correspondence course that we are happy to send to you. We literally have thousands of students in this area that take this course, and they come back over and over again saying, I've learned things in this that I've never seen before. So what are the odds that you might be one of those students as well? You'll never know unless you allow us to send you this free, I repeat, free correspondence course. You take it, get it in the mail. We'll get it in tomorrow's mail, matter of fact. And then you can send it back to us. We will grade it, send you the next courses. And then you will go through those, and then the process continues to the end. And after you complete the course, we'll see to it that you get a certificate to show our appreciation to you. It is our honor to be able to share with you this wealth from God's Word. Again, here's the information on that. While we're at break, go ahead and call in your question. We have one line available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us your question, go ahead and do so at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you again to go ahead and take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course. Again, that number is 553-5157. I know a few called here looking for that course, and so let me encourage our listeners that there is a separate number that you can call and get that correspondence course free of charge. That's 553-5157. There's an operator standing by waiting and ready to take your information so that we can send that course to you in the mail. To call in your question here at the station, you go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. Your question will be taken down, or you can go live on the air if you so choose, and we will, again, go to the scriptures to answer your question. If you prefer to send us a text message, you can. That text number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question that we mentioned earlier before the break about homosexuality. Is it wrong? I would direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading with verse 9. But before I read this, let me paint a scenario in your mind right quick. Imagine there is a neighbor of yours that comes to your house, and as they are there, they see something of value that you have there in your house. You see them eyeballing it, and you know, there's a few comments about that, and then the neighbor you visit for a little bit, and you turn around, and then all of a sudden that object is gone, and your neighbor is gone. Now, would you be happy about that? Well, yeah, of course you wouldn't be. Would you say that neighbor has done wrong? Well, yeah, that's right, especially if it was a value. You'd probably call the police, explain it to them. They would go down there, and they'd find the object on their body, and thus they would be convicted of a crime, wouldn't they? So that is absolutely wrong. I think everybody in the audience would say that's wrong. Let's say that that neighbor said in his defense, well, I'm a kleptomaniac. I couldn't help but take that. It's just within my genes to take things like that. Now, would that hold any, you know, would you buy that? Would you say, oh, well, in that case, you can have it? I mean, would you do that? Well, no. And I don't know of anyone in the audience that would buy into that. But yet, they come up with all kind of diseases to excuse sin today. And unfortunately, homosexuality is one of those. I was born this way. I just have to react this way. Okay, now you see the absurdity of this, but let's read what God has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. See, society would have us to be deceived about this. And whenever God says do not be deceived, God understands that's something that the devil does through society to try to get us to buy into that there's nothing wrong with this. And thus God says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves. Now, we agreed with it when it come down to thieving from us. Nor covetous. Oh, my, that really hits a lot of people, doesn't it? Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some of those society today would condone. They'd say, there's nothing wrong with that. But then verse 11 says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. They had to do what God requires them to do in order to be forgiven, which includes repentance, to turn away from that sin. 2 Corinthians 7 goes on to explain that that repentance must come from a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So we have to turn away from that practice, whatever it is, whether it be homosexuality practices, adulterous practices, extortion, revilers. That would have to do with our tongues, the way we use our tongues. We have to repent of those things as well. And if we do not control those things, if we do not turn away from those and seek forgiveness, then it said, not once but twice, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, what is the answer to your question? Yes, God will judge those who practice such things as that. So, but you don't. We don't have to do those things. God didn't say we must change our race. He didn't tell us that we must change our eye color. He didn't tell us that we needed to be grow from 6 foot to 10 foot tall. We can't control that. What we can, though, control is we must stop sin. So no matter what the sin is, we've got to repent of those things. Thank you so much of your for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. And unfortunately, this is a question that a lot of people wonder about. And it's amazing. 20 years ago, not a single person, 30 years ago, no one would have even asked such a question as that. But our society has changed, hasn't it? So what we've got to do is we've got to listen to God and find out what God has to say, because His Word never changes. And thus, we must let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI to call in your question right now. Or you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725. The text number is 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak.
Yes, I was just thinking, Ricky, as you were talking about that passage, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there is a word that's used there that lets us know that you are dead on in your explanation that this is something that a person can fix, a person can change. In verse 11, as he talks about these folks who were engaged in these various things, he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." And that word "were," that's past tense. So that tells us with absolute certainty that this is something a person can change. They don't have to stay in this type of ungodly relationship. They can change. It's a matter of choice. And so far too often what we say is that this is not a matter of choice, but it's clear in the Scripture that this is a matter of choice, much like any other types of sins, sexual sins, that a person may find themselves in. There are extramarital sex that comes out in this text. Well, that's sin, and that's a matter of choice. No one is forced to engage in extramarital sex, and that's in verse 9. No one is forced to be an idolater. No one is forced to engage in fornication. All those things are a matter of choice, and we can change if we want to. And so if you know folks in that situation, you can encourage them by God's word, let them know that they can change, they can turn away from their sin. Again, as Ricky mentioned, I just want to reiterate, we sure appreciate you calling in that question. So join us right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We have a texter calling in this question. The last three digits are from 673. First of all, thank you for calling your question. And we appreciate you bearing your heart to us here in this question. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, your question is, why do I feel like God doesn't love me? And so if I'm misreading your text, please go ahead and text again to correct that. But that is a very good question, because there's a lot of times people today, they will hear maybe being brought up in a hellfire and damnation type of church, to where God is always condemning and always against, and never hearing about the love of God. And so sometimes people come away from such an environment as that thinking that God does not love them. Well, God does love them, like the verse I just read from 2 Corinthians 6, when he says, "But such were some of you." And so showing that God, yes, he loved even those individuals practicing such things as that. He says, "And you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit." We can see that God does love us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son." Now, my friend, I want to ask you, do you know of anybody else on this earth that literally has given up their only child to death on the behalf of someone else, just to give a message to them, "I love you"? And not only was it a death, it was a horrible death. Jesus did not have to go through all of the torture that he went through in order to shed his blood for our remission of sins. John the Baptist, for example, had his head cut off. Well, that could have been the way that Jesus could have been killed as well. But no, it was in God's plan that he be beaten by many stripes, and that he suffers shame for our salvation. Why? Because sometimes people's hearts are so calloused that it takes such a sacrifice as that in order to get the point across how much they are loved. It's the same principle as with in a romance between a man and a woman. If the man all of a sudden whisks the girl off of her feet so that she doesn't have to walk through a mud puddle, well, you can see that he would do that because he's trying to score some points with her. But God whisked us off of our feet by his love because he loves us so very much. Now, the question is, do we see it? Do we see how much God loves us? Is that something that is questionable? When you look and see just how much Jesus suffered for us, how can we but not know he loves us? And so I would encourage you to read the crucifixion scene for us in Matthew chapter 27, for example, and to see what all Jesus went through just after being scourged and his clothes being put on him and then ripped off of him and then being put on him and ripped off four times, if I'm not mistaken. They were put on all those open wounds on his back and then peeled off. Why would Jesus allow such as this? He tells Peter, he said, I could pray to my Father right now, and he'd send forth a legion of angels. Now, that's power. All he had to do is utter one word. But because he held in there, went through all that, by his suffering, we are healed. So thank you so much for calling in and asking that. I hope you will take the opportunity to look and see just how much he does love us and how he demonstrated his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
Mary calls in this question today. She says, do I need to go to church on Sundays? Mary, sure appreciate you calling in. We sure appreciate your question. The word church simply means to call down. It's the group of saved believers, the ecclesia. And so the church is not necessarily a place you go, but it's something that you are a part of when one obeys the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added them to the church. He added the saved to the church. It's something that a person becomes added to by God. Now, the building or the time of where you might assemble, that's the place that you go. But I understand your question. I just want to give a little clarity on that, that you go to be with the church. And so really the question is, do I need to go be with the church on Sunday? And I think when you ask that question, you almost automatically get an answer. Do I need to go be with God's people? Do I need to go assemble with my family? Do I need to go be with the body of Christ? That's what the church is called in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And so our answer just seems to emerge. But now there's some other passages. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, now, and let us consider, let me start in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed from pure water. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The idea of let us hold fast, let us draw near, these are all things that we do together with one another. In verse 24, he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so in going to be with those who make up the body of Christ, then I'm stirring them up to love and good works. This is something I'm supposed to do. Well, how can I do that if I'm not there? You add to that, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more. There's other passages that talks about this participation that happens one with another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 talks about the singing that takes place. Ephesians chapter 5, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, That happens in the assembly. Colossians 3:16 seems to reiterate that. So again, you have this one another, and then you also have, and if I'm just kind of throwing things out there, you have the Lord's Supper, which is why the church came together in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 to partake of the Lord's Supper. That was something that they did together. So now, let me ask you the question. Do I need to go be with God's people on Sunday? I hope that's been helpful to you. Because join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, or you can send us a text message, 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that we're serious about the idea that this is free. We will never ask for money. It will always be free. We will never ask for money. We are more than happy to share with you the riches in God's Word. And the correspondence course is a professionally done course. It will be, you will get much out of it. And again, that is free. We'll be glad to send that to you. That number is 553-5157. And so we do want you to know that we are happy to be able to do this, to share with you the wealth that God has given us in His Word. Now, just, I hope you don't misunderstand. We are not wealthy people physically. We are very wealthy people spiritually. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. And that's what we want to share with you. What did Jesus do for us? That's out of this world, literally. So let's go find what God wants for us and what He's prepared for us out of this world. And the only way to do that is to read what He said, find out how to love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let's let the Bible speak, not only in our minds and not only in our hearts, but also in our actions as we put these things into action in our lives, indeed, to love God, indeed, as well as in word. So, again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. We have a caller following up from a question last week, I believe.
Yes, the last three digits of 771 says, could you repeat what you spoke about on the Masons? I got in the car on the tail end of the conversation. I will do my best to repeat that because, quite honestly, I don't remember all I said. I'm getting a little old. but I think what I brought to light is that any type of social club that a person may join, in and of themselves, they may be fine. You know, a person may join. The Boy Scouts, a person may join. The Girl Scouts or the 4-H Club, some type of social club. Those things are fine. And so I liken the Masons to that in the sense that it's a club to some. But now, if you dig a little deeper, there are some religious connections to being a Mason. And so a Mason really becomes like a religious order. If you just do the research, most people think that the Mason Society is a secret order. But Freemasonry is actually, there's a lot of information out there. You can just do a search on the Internet about Freemasonry. And what you'll find is that it does have a connection to religion. So anytime something presents itself as a religious order, well, now that put it in at conflict with God, because there's only really one religious order that to which men may be saved, and that's the order that God established in Christ Jesus. And so we're only to listen to one message concerning salvation. We're only to listen to one message concerning what we should do religiously in an effort to reconnect with God. And all that comes from the Bible. So any type of social club that I might join, if it starts to spout religious belief or ideals, I have to reject it because I can only hold to one doctrine. I can only hold to one teaching. And I'll go back to a passage that we use often on this radio broadcast, and that's Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, where Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, he says not even an angel from heaven has the authority to teach something different. And he says if he does teach something different, he says let him be accursed. The Greek word there is anathema. So that is eternally condemned. It is a strong, strong word concerning condemnation that would befall the person that would teach something different. So no one has a right to do that. And for our listeners, you don't want to engage or begin to join some religious order or group that may be teaching something contrary to what's revealed in the Word of God because you place yourself in such a condemnation. In verse 9, he goes on to say, as we have said before, so now I say again. So he's going to repeat it. And why would you repeat a thing? For the sake of emphasis. He says, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so no one has a right to teach something different than what the Bible says. Also, you can look at 2 John. 2 John, there's only one chapter, verses 9 and 10. No one has a right to bring or to teach any other doctrine, any other teaching than what we have found in the Word of God. So that's where we have to stay. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. Very challenging question, because we do like to join social clubs. Just remember, there's only one, if you will, religious order that's right, and that's the one that Jesus Christ established.
We have Mike calling in this afternoon. Mike, thank you for calling in this question, and thank you for listening. We've had a couple of comments texted to us about the program thus far, and we want to thank you for those comments as well, those of you that are texting. Again, if you have a question or a comment, you can text us at 725-9283, or you can call in to 308-9564. As Mike has just done, he called in and asked this question, what must I do to be saved? Well, Mike, awesome question. And, of course, what we're going to do is not to tell you, but we're going to read to you from God's Word what God says, because man can't do it, and you shouldn't listen to man. We've got to go to the Bible for the answer. Jesus was not confusing about this. When he called the apostles and together right before he went back to heaven, the last words of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark 16, Luke 24, records this event where he gave them the mission to go. Right before he went back into heaven, he gave them the mission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations. Matthew says nations, Mark says creature, he who believes and he who repents, that repentance should be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Mark even adds that they are saved. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Well, that's what he told them to do. Now, when you get to the book of Acts, we see they are there in Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them, and he told them to begin there preaching the gospel. We see Peter, one of the 12 that received that mission, preaching the gospel. And he says in Acts 2 and verse 36, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He said, you need to know this. You need to know assuredly. You need to really believe that God made Jesus Lord and Christ. So did Jesus tell them to teach belief? Yes. Well, they reacted in verse 37 by saying, well, what shall we do? And Peter continues in answering their question. He told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus tell them to teach repentance? Yes. Did he tell them to teach baptism for the remission of sins? Yes. So they did exactly what they were told to do. Now, in verse 41, it brings out that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they received the word and were baptized. And the same day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So they received the word, and about 3,000 souls were added. Now, they weren't saved yet, because the previous verse, he told them, he said that be saved from this untoward generation, verse 40. So they had to receive the word and be baptized. About 3,000 did obey. And then in verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, Mike, your answer is there in Acts chapter 2, that we must believe in Jesus, that he's Lord and Christ, that we must repent or turn away from sin, that we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, as we can later see in Romans chapter 6, what happens there is this: that's the event where we are added to Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's what puts us into Christ when the baptism takes place. I know that you don't normally hear this in churches today, But that's the way it was done in the Bible. And you can go through the book of Acts and see that that's the way it was done. In Acts chapter 8, going down the road, they stopped. There's water on the side of the road. And there this man from Africa was baptized there on the side of the road. In Acts chapter 16, we see a jailer and his household hearing the word of God in the middle of the night. Before, sometime between midnight and sunrise, that he and his house were baptized in the middle of the night. Now, how often have you ever seen that? And so, Mike, we would encourage you to do the same thing. Not to do it because we said it, but because you see it in God's Word and you want to do what's necessary in order to please God. If we can assist you in this, you can follow through and complete your obedience unto Christ, even being baptized today, if that is your desire. Just call the operator standing by at 553-5157. That's 553-5157, and we will help you to in any way that we can, or give you more verses on this subject. Again, that was Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through the end of the chapter, verse 47, and you'll see exactly what they did. It's time for us to take another break. We do want you to know that we are honored to be able to be in front of you and to be able to, that you have tuned in and you're searching for the answers to God's Word. And so make certain that you continue to look into God's Word even after this broadcast is over. Something we have failed to do is to let you know that we have a website that you can download previous broadcasts of this radio program, and you can study them from your computer just simply by going to our website at www.biblealone.com, and you can download several materials and also the correspondence course and listen to previous broadcasts of this program. So your choices are many. We're glad to be able to address your questions live today. This is a live broadcast, and now's your opportunity. Go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live. We do want you to know this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your questions right now at 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. This is the last half hour, so hurry, call in your questions, or you may miss out, or we may have to carry your question over to next week. Again, the number 308-9564, there's one line available, or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, do you have a question?
Yes, Martha calls in today. In fact, I have three questions from Martha. Martha, I will do my best to answer these three questions in succession, but if we get other questions, then I may take a break and come back to some of these. The first question is, can a woman be a pastor? So from an example perspective, there is no example of a woman pastor in the Bible. Now, the word pastor is used interchangeably with elder or bishop to talk about the work that the person in this position would do. The word pastor just means to feed or to shepherd the flock. Elder would suggest an older person. A bishop literally means an overseer. And so this was the work of the one that would be in this position of pastor, bishop, elder. When we look at the qualifications, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, and we see that this one of the qualifications that they would need to be the husband of one wife. And so it seems to suggest that this was the role for the men, specifically because it says the husband of one wife as a means or a matter of qualification. And then Titus also reiterates that in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, as we look to the qualifications there, it still says the husband of one wife. Now, question number 2, Martha says, can a woman be an apostle? Again, I go back, there is no example of any woman apostles. Only men were selected, and on one occasion where there was an opportunity to actually, if God was going to do it that way, on that one specific occasion, they still selected a man, and a man still seemed to be the qualification. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, in this same setting is where they would choose one to replace Judas as an apostle. And so you had men there, you have women there. And if you note what takes place in verse 21, as they go to replace Judas as an apostle, note one of the qualifications. They said, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And, you know, they would choose Matthias in this context. So what you had was a situation where there were women there, but the requirement was for it to be a man. And so that's what we have as a matter of example. Now, Moffy, your third question, let me come back to your third question, and then in just a few moments. But hopefully that's been helpful concerning your first two questions, and I'll try to answer your third question in just a moment. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Ann calling in this question. Her question is, when we leave a church, should we let the pastor know, or is he still the overseer of our soul? And so that question, of course, implies that there is a pastor of a church and not pastors. Now, Anne, I would encourage you to look into the Bible, and you'll see that in the Bible that the local churches in the Bible had pastors, elders, bishops. It's always plural. There's never a one-man show. It's never one man that is watching over a flock. You see, it's always plural, first of all. Second of all, if the church is set up just like the Bible says and there are pastors overseeing the flock, then the responsibility of those pastors is to care for and watch the flock, for they watch for your soul. And so, yes, they are to guard and guide and make certain that you're growing as you should. And thus, that is something that their God-given responsibility as they take on that role. They are to watch the flock. I would encourage you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. He gives the instructions there, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, that they are to feed or guide or oversee the flock of God which is among you. That is their responsibility, for they watch for your soul. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 5 brings out instructions about this. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 3, it gives the qualities that they must have. And Titus chapter 1 says that they are to make certain and to guard the flock and to make certain that gainsayers do not get their way within the flock. And so there are several more things that they're supposed to do, where if you absent yourself without them knowing it, then they must try to help you to get to heaven. Now, does that mean that they should follow you if you say, I'm leaving this flock and I'm moving out of town or something? Well, no, then their responsibility ends. And so, but while you are one of their sheep, then you must make certain that they know where you're at and that you're not straying. If you think of yourself as a sheep, then the pastors, the shepherds over the flock, are to make certain that those sheep are not straying. Matter of fact, they're supposed to even leave the 99, and they're supposed to go after the one that has strayed. And so that's what a good shepherd does. Well, Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd, and that's who he is concerned with, and that's who we should understand we are serving. And so it's not a matter of you are to be a slave or servant of the pastors. You are no more than you would other brethren. We serve one another. And so what we need to do is to help them in their job. It is a fearsome job for elders to oversee a flock. Again, that number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. I believe we have a live caller standing by.
Yes,
we have Sam standing by. Sam, you have a question for us?
Yes, sir. This is Sam North Charleston. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear from you again. How can we help you?
Fine. I've been down for 3 years, and I ain't seen nobody from my church. So what do you do in a case like that?
Well, you pray for them, for sure.
Yes, that's what I've been doing.
Well, that's something that, unfortunately, but a lot of times, I hate to say what I'm about to say.
A lot of it
has to do with how much money you give to the church. If you gave a lot of money, then they'd probably be knocking your door down. I hope that's not the case, but I have seen that far too many times. The Lord wants us to love the flock, to make certain that we are that we are, you know, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. So that's the kind of love that we should have for one another, and we should make certain that none of them do stray away, and to make certain that every one of them is, if it is their choice, they want to go to heaven, then we should do everything within our power to help them to get to heaven. And so I'm sorry to say that that may not be the case in your situation.
Yes, sir. Well, I understand. You know, it seems like every time a hurricane comes or a storm, hey, they're going to lead the shepherds. They're going to lead the flock now. You know, if there's a bunch, every man for themselves, you know.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, the shepherds sometimes go bad. Even in the Old Testament, there were shepherds that were condemned because they were hirelings. Jesus refers to this even in the New Testament. Someone that is more concerned with the money rather than the safety of the sheep.
Well, it's a shame. We just tell them like it is. I've been, like I said, I've been sick for 3 years. I ain't seen nobody. So that's, you know, nobody.
Well, I tell you what we need to do is you need to call the operator standing by, and you'll see somebody. We'll come see you, and we'll sit down and study and assist you to be able to, even in person, to learn more about what God wants for you.
That's why I'm up early in the morning time watching the television, getting the words, you know?
Well, it's important that we find out what God says for sure.
Sir, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Sam. We sure do appreciate you tuning in and listening each week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Again, the number is 308-9564.
Martha, I want to get back to your third question. Your third question, and Martha had called in with three questions. One, can a woman be a pastor? We answered that looking at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And the answer, again, that there was no example of that. And then the information that we do have to us shows us that it was the role of a male, the husband of one wife. And then two, can a woman be an apostle? Again, we had no example of a woman being an apostle. And the opportunity where they were to select an apostle, replace an apostle for Judas, there were men and women there, and what comes out in verse 21 was they were to select a man in verse 21. And then finally, her third question is there supposed to be senior pastors and other pastors under them? Well, we have no example of that neither, Martha. So you've asked three questions of which we have no example of any such thing or even a command of any such thing. But what we do have is when the Bible talks about it doesn't use the term senior, but it does talk about a chief pastor in First Peter chapter 5, and making reference to the chief pastor or the chief shepherd, it refers to Jesus as being that one. And so no one should be taking on that chief role as a shepherd, because there's only one chief shepherd, according to First Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and him name is Jesus Christ. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a texter calling in this question that says, if you've been saved and baptized and you backslide, then you repent again, do you have to be baptized again? And so that's a very good question. And the way you word the question leads me to believe, let me just kind of give an illustration. Let's say that I look out my door and I see a man walking down the street. And I go out and I tackle this man walking down the street. And we baptize in our backyard in a hot tub. So let's say I drag him around my house. I drag him into our backyard and I throw him into this hot tub and I dunk him underwater. I say the right thing and then I push him underwater. Would it do him any good? You're right. It wouldn't. It would not. Now, I probably wouldn't live through that event, certainly. But just for this illustration's sake, it wouldn't do him any good. Why? Yeah, that's right. He wouldn't know what's going on. He'd think some lunatic has got a hold of him. And in that case, it may have been a lunatic. But my point there is, it wouldn't do him any good because he wouldn't know what's going on. So, if by chance I listen to church A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like we were using earlier, and the doctrine that is associated with those corresponding churches, which baptize to baptize part of a denomination or to make you feel better, or baptize to receive the operation of miraculous Holy Spirit endowment, to be gifted with the Holy Spirit, or if I'm baptized for the reason of to be part of that particular denomination, and on and on and on. There's lots of ways that people are baptized. And so none of that is in the Bible. So let's say that that's why I was baptized. Would that, in God's eyes, have done me any good? Okay, you have a question yet? Well, let's go to the Old Testament event. There is a story in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Naaman. He came down with leprosy. He had to travel down to Israel to hear and talk to a prophet who was going to heal him. And so he would have had to cross the Jordan River in order to get to him. So he goes down, he talks to the prophet. The prophet sends a messenger. The messenger tells him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. So he at first rebels against that, but then someone talks him into it. He goes down, he dips in the River Jordan, and as he comes up the 7th time, his skin turns back to that like a newborn baby. Now, what healed him of his leprosy? Was it the Jordan River? Was it the servant that told him, talked some sense into him? Was it the prophet that told him to do that? Or was it God? You're right. It was God. God is the one that healed him. So let's say that he had gone into the River Jordan before the prophet had told him to do that, because he would have had to cross it to get there. So let's say that he happened to go under 7 times when he was passing by. Would that have healed him of his leprosy before God told him to do it? Yeah, that's right. He would not, because it wouldn't be by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When he was obeying God, that's when he was healed of his leprosy. And when we yield to what God says, not what man says, that's when we are healed of our sin and we are cleansed to be one of his children. So to answer your question there, if that was not based upon what God says in his word, that is, you were lost before you were baptized and you were saved after you were baptized, then that was just merely dipping in water. So hopefully that helps a little bit. But to answer your question, I'm going to assume that your baptism was correct. And well, Acts chapter 8, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 tells us we must confess our sins, repent of our sins, walk in the light, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Once we're in Christ, then that's what we have to do. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. But if our baptism wasn't right, then we must make certain that it is right. Again, the number is 3089564. We're going to our last break now. Now's your last opportunity to get in your question, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know this is our last segment, so don't miss out on asking your question as we go to the Bible for the answer. The number again is 3089564, and we will let the Bible speak. The lines are available, so now's your chance. 3089564.
Leslie calls in today. She says, after being baptized, do people need to stay with the church that baptized them? Well, Leslie, that's a very good question. The only reason to stay with the church that baptized you is if that church is following the truth. But now, there is no thought that you would go back to a practice that was false. There are many people that are baptized, hopefully baptized appropriately, as to say immerse, baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2, for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2. And thus there's repentance involved with that. They repent and be baptized. There is a confession that's involved with that in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. He made a confession of faith that he believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon that confession he was baptized. And so that's the proper baptism that the Bible speaks of. If a person has that proper baptism and they're part of a place that doesn't teach that proper baptism, well, surely you would not go back to that. You wouldn't go back to that practice. You know, in the first century, when these folks were obeying the gospel to be baptized, many times it was Jews. And these folks did not go back to the practice of Judaism. They could not. They had to continue on in practicing truth, the truth that they had learned. Sometimes it was Gentiles, and most Gentiles were idol worshipers. Well, they wouldn't go back to worshiping idols. They would have to continue in practicing truth. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when this gospel was preached after Jesus' resurrection, it was preached for the first time after his resurrection. The Bible shows us in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And verse 42, the Bible goes on to show that they did not go back to the practice of Judaism, but rather they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers.
And so they continued with that group that taught them the truth, because that group was following the truth. And so that's what you would do. You would continue with the truth. If a group is teaching the truth, you stay with the group that's teaching the truth. But if they're teaching something false, then you reject it and you go about a search so as to find the truth so that you can worship God the way he has revealed in his inspired word. We sure hope that's been helpful to you. Leslie, join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
Most of you probably listening today have just gone through a process of being very thankful. And that probably had to do with how much food you were able to eat and the kind of food that you ate. It is a season where we should be thankful. In this last week, we celebrated Thanksgiving. And yet you had a meal that you were very thankful for. And sometimes that was called, that's called the Thanksgiving meal. Well, my friends, would you be surprised to know that that may be called that, but there is a real Thanksgiving meal that we partook of today. Nick's going to tell us a little bit about that right now.
The Bible refers to the Lord's Supper. If you look at the Lord's Supper closely, you'll see that the Bible really gives an example of how that really is the real Thanksgiving meal. And what we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that disciples came together upon the first day of the week to partake of that meal. And what, again, we call the real Thanksgiving meal, because it was a time of Thanksgiving. As we look at the three accounts given in the gospel of what Jesus institutes, you'll see very clearly that he takes time to give thanks. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 and 27, in verse 26, the Bible shows us that he blessed the bread and then he gave thanks for the cup. We see again in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, that he does the same thing in Mark's account. He blesses the bread and he gives thanks for the cup. And then in Luke's account, Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 19, he gives thanks for the cup. He gives thanks for the bread. And so what you see in the institution of the Lord's Supper, that this was a time of thanksgiving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, when Paul recounts what took place, he shows how that Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. And then in verse 25, the Bible shows how that in the same manner he did the same thing towards a cup. The only point is that every account of the Lord's Supper shows that it was done with thanksgiving. So here you have Jesus, the Son of God, as he institutes this, and he's giving thanks to the Most High God as his disciples share in this meal, the real Thanksgiving meal. Far too often what can happen is we can take a holiday, and that holiday can overshadow something that perhaps is better. Now, there's nothing wrong with Thanksgiving from a holiday perspective, but many people will put a tremendous amount of effort to participate in the Thanksgiving holiday. Yeah, my daughter, she came from out of town. She flew from out of town. I spent money. There were folks that had a feast. They spent money on food. And we spent a tremendous amount of money and a tremendous amount of effort to partake in this Thanksgiving meal that's associated with the holiday. And yet we won't put forth the effort necessary to participate in the Thanksgiving meal that Jesus himself died to institute for you and I. And that's a shame.
How often is that meal supposed to take place? Is it to be just once a year?
Well, what we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that it occurred on the first day of the week. And so we should be partaking of the Thanksgiving meal every week, because that's the time when the disciples came together. If, in fact, we're his disciples, then Thanksgiving happens for us 52 weeks a year.
And so thus, that's the real Thanksgiving meal that God wants us to partake of today. Unfortunately, too many times we are more concerned with things of the world and what the world would have expectations of us in. We are just thrilled to be able to have you joined us today to be able to go to the Bible for the answers and be able to look to the Bible for the answer to God's Word. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yes, this person calls in and says, if I chose to backslide after being saved, is there a place in hell for me? The answer is yes. You cannot choose to sin. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, that if I willfully sin, after I've known the way of truth, well, I'm going to just pick up the verse 26, Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth,
there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of the judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. And so, yes, as you so eloquently put it, there will be a place in hell for you. But it doesn't have to be. You can always repent and turn back to God. His arms open if you're willing to repent.
We are so glad that you've been able to join us today as we go to the Bible for the answers. Remember, God is the one that's going to have the final say. We must listen to him. Obviously, being that you're listening today, you have a desire for true happiness and joy. But it will not come by seeking after physical things or money or even presents or even holidays. It will only come by listening to our Creator and letting his word touch our lives. And the way he does that is through obediently loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learning to be content with such things as we have is certainly part of that. But we'll find the answers, not in church doctrines, not in our emotions, not in pastors or even family. The truth of the matter is, we will find the answers and only the answers that matter to give us this fulfillment in life as we go to God's Word and we let the Bible speak.